Everyone, for this opportunity to worship with you. It's wonderful for me to be able to gather from this far away with your circle there in New York City. We have warming temperatures here, and I know you do there as well. We have daylight saving time. Savings time here and there. It's the first day of spring coming this week. There's a lot of change in the wind, some of which we welcome. And there is the ongoing, steady, and oftentimes chaotic rhythm of work, family, and gathering for worship. And this is what all of us gathered in this circle are here to enter into worship, to realign ourselves with the purposes of God, the mission of God, the saving work of God in the world. So thank you. Over the years, particularly while I was at Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, I preached in a fair number of congregations. One that invited me to speak had a thematic sermon series going called No Ordinary Family. The Sunday it suited me to be there, the biblical heroine to be featured was Rahab. So would I please preach on Rahab? Wow, I thought that would be new territory for me. I don't think I've ever heard a sermon on Rahab, much less offered one. I was apprehensive, unsure where this would lead, but I agreed to give myself to the task. And what do you know? I made what was for me some astonishing discoveries about this woman. Imagine with me the original context of the story that we just heard read. You have a motley, wandering, homeless people at risk in the wilderness, with memories of oppression and a harrowing escape from Egypt, hanging by a thread on vague promises of a land flowing with milk and honey, a frightened people who now find themselves on the banks of the Jordan River. Moses, their bigger than life leader, has just died. And his novice, unproven assistant Joshua is charged to lead them across the river. And just across the Jordan River is Jericho, a formidable walled city ruled by a king. This city, in many respects, controls entrance to all the land west of it. So Joshua, in preparation for the river crossing, sends out two spies to investigate the military strength of Jericho, which sounds like a prudent thing for a new leader to do. And the spies show up at Rahab's house. Now, Rahab, the story says, was a prostitute. We don't know why the spies chose to stay at her house, so we can only speculate. I invite you to put on your spy hat for a minute. Where might a couple men go to be anonymous? Where they could be anonymous, where normally no questions are asked, and you can sort of slink in and out of in secret. In a way, it seems like fairly astute spy work to head to a prostitute's house, because who you are and that you're visiting will be kept secret. We don't know how these men introduced themselves to Rahab or why they chose to make their true mission known to her. But the story tells us that when the king's men show up, having gotten wind of the spy's presence despite everything, Rahab has already decided to throw in her lot with her guests. She hides them rather than turning them over, and she deliberately misleads the king's men. Rahab then makes the remarkable decision to declare her loyalty to her visitor's God, putting herself and her family at considerable risk, saying to her visitors, "The Lord your God is indeed God in heaven above and on earth below." She assists the spies in escaping by a rope through the window. And later, when the walls of the city fall down and the city is destroyed, Joshua sends these same men to rescue Rahab and her family. The story concludes, Rahab and her family have lived in Israel ever since, for she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So, what do we know about this woman? She appears to be a woman of questionable character, a prostitute who doesn't think twice about lying and showing disloyal, treasonous behavior toward her own people. Yet the astonishing thing is that she, Rahab, shows up in several prominent places as a hero, if you will, in the New Testament. The first place she shows up is in Matthew's genealogy of Jesus. There are five major interruptions to the normal pattern of showing one's Israelite heritage by tracing out the male line. So-and-so was the father of so-and-so. Rahab is one of five women intruded into that predominantly male line. She is listed as the mother of Boaz, who married Ruth, an outsider, and became the grandfather of Jesse, the father of King David, and across the generations, an ancestor of Jesus. Another prominent place Rahab shows up is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, a chapter in the Bible distinguished for its listing of faith heroes. The litany begins, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval," and so on and so on. "By faith, Abel did this, and Enoch did that, and Noah did this, and Abraham did that." after the list of the greats, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, who shows up but Rahab? In the long list of faith heroes, she is the only woman named. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. And Rahab shows up again in the book of James, chapter 2, a chapter that talks about how faith without works is dead. The writer first mentions Abraham as an exemplar. And then right beside Abraham, the only other person mentioned is Rahab. Astonishing. Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. So why did Israel keep Rahab's story alive? And even more intriguing to me, at least, is why do New Testament writers repeatedly list her, as it were, in the Hall of Fame? I'd love to hear your thoughts, but this is what occurs to me, which has particular poignancy in light of the national crises we've encountered in recent years. First off, Rahab welcomed and sheltered strangers who were clearly at risk. In doing so, she put herself and her family at risk. And not only did she welcome them, but she threw in her lot with them, declaring her loyalty to their God. She acted in faith. She didn't just talk or call out to God in her need. She actively welcomed these strangers, protected them, and then guided them on a road so they would avoid capture. She acted in faith. The writer of Hebrews wrote, welcoming these foreigners in peace. Another reason why Rahab may have garnered such appreciation in the early church is that she was a woman. And not only a woman, but someone from the despised Canaanites who showed astonishing courage and leadership. A woman whose bold, decisive moves on behalf of a vulnerable, oppressed, and homeless people helped to make their entry into a new homeland possible. Another reason the early followers of Jesus kept Rahab's story alive may have been the evident transformation of Rahab's life. How she found a new identity and a sense of belonging with a new people, and moved from prostitute to respected mother of Boaz, an ancestor of Jesus. And perhaps most significant for the New Testament Christians and why they would have considered her worthy of renown was because Rahab looked a lot like the kind of people Jesus often hung out with. Someone from the margins. Someone who had been despised and discovered a new identity, a new belonging, a new purpose. It's not just happenstance that Rahab shows up in Jesus' genealogy. And again, in the Hall of Fame with faith heroes in Hebrews, and as one who showed her faith by her works, mentioned right alongside Abraham in James. Rahab keeps showing up because hers is a subversive story. The story of a marginalized prostitute who became a bold, decisive woman leader in a precarious time. The story of a foreigner, an outsider, who threw in her lot with the God of her guests, declared her loyalty to their God, and became a loved and revered daughter of God herself. Rahab's story is the story of the gospel of the subversive prophet Jesus, who kept turning the world upside down by giving hope and new standing to those who were deemed unacceptable or unfit, to those whom he called and loved into wholehearted life and witness. Thanks be to God. Amen. Yeah.